Chuck and Julie, bringing you the truth, straight up.
I'm Julie Hayden. I'm working
an Emmy-winning former investigative reporter, a highly successful trial attorney, and publisher of a major Denver area newspaper. They've been partners as talk show hosts and in marriage, as parents, for over 10 years, providing thought-provoking information, opinion, and entertainment live, local, and interactive. Everyone's voice is always welcome on the Chuck and Julie Show.
Chuck Bonneville, Julie Hayden, the Chuck and Julie Grassroots, Truth Straight Up. Almost got through it. I'm getting better.
It's like, add one word and it's
add a word
that throws us off. Hey, the show brought to you today, as always, by Mountain West Wellness Advanced Acupuncture and Chinese Medicine, happytrees.co, and Denver Cenogenic with Dr. Julie McCallan. We're going to jump right into it today with a guest, Mark Tapson. He is the Shulman Fellow on Popular Culture for the David Horowitz Freedom Center, right for Front Page Magazine. Had a great article in there today talking about the top 10 woke lies. Hey, Mark, thank you for joining us today. We appreciate your time.
That must have been a tough task trying to figure out 10 out of the hundreds or thousands.
Well, first, thanks for having me. It was a little bit difficult to narrow things down, and it's a very subjective list. I had to start somewhere.
Yeah. Well, you know, what I'd like you to talk about before we kind of get into them, I thought, you know, in reading your column, it was great. It said the whole thing is actually based on the underlying Marxist lie. And why don't you explain that to us first?
Yeah, actually, that's a good idea. You know, it might help if I do start by defining really what wokeness is. Because, you know, the left today likes to diminish the right's attacks on wokeness by claiming that we're incapable of even defining it. Which is kind of ridiculous because every conservative I know knows how to define wokeness. The simplest definition, and the one that I like to use, is just that wokeness is the state of being enlightened about social justice issues. Now, that's the most basic, stripped-down definition. But to elaborate on it a little bit, what it means to be enlightened about social justice issues is to view the world through, as you just mentioned a moment ago, the Marxist lens that casts everything in terms of this struggle between the oppressed and the oppressor. So if you're woke, what that means is that you recognize that all around you there are these oppressed groups of people who are under the thumb of power structures that are created and maintained by the oppressor group, which is the, you know, of course, the Eurocentric, patriarchal, heteronormative exploiter of minorities and women and the LGBTQ community and all the various intersections of those groups. It means that you recognize that America is a systemically racist nation that's rooted in slavery and bigotry and not in freedom and justice for all. And it means that you recognize that what social justice means is overthrowing that oppressive system, overthrowing all the traditions, the bourgeois morality, the capitalist economy, the nuclear family, all the norms and the structures of a system that they think is designed to exploit and enslave those who are oppressed by it. So that's kind of that's what it means to be woke. And as you mentioned, there's this Marxist base to it. The whole worldview stems from this Marxist worldview. And so that's what wokeness and being woke is all about.
Well, and as you kind of mentioned, and that's a lie in and of itself, right? I mean, it's crazy in this day and age. It's like, we're the oppressed ones anymore, right? We get banned from YouTube, banned from Twitter. It's ironic that these people don't see themselves as the oppressor. I don't even know what Joe Biden would view himself as. Is he the oppressor? Is he oppressed? Is he deadbeat? I mean, there's so many.
Is amazing that wokeism has gone beyond Marxism, which really said the only construct that mattered were it was capitalism versus a worker class. They didn't delve into homosexuality, sex, gender, everything else. I mean, just, you know, the workers versus a capitalist class. Now they've expanded, so there are 10 different oppressors, all of which we are, of course.
Yeah, that's exactly right. It began as an economic theory, you know, and as you put it, you know, had to do with the working class being oppressed by the capitalist oppressor class. But after a while, Marxist theorists figured out that the Marxist economy model actually doesn't work very well in the real world. In fact, it's disastrous. But they did figure out that what does work in terms of spreading Marxist ideas is cultural Marxism. It's taking that economic model and applying it to the culture, and it works exceedingly well when you apply it to the culture. And that's why cultural Marxism has been so effective over the last few decades
at
changing the culture.
Yeah,
haven't you read Wikipedia? That's a conspiracy theory.
Yeah.
Oh yeah. Well,
they've identified it.
Yes.
As a conspiracy theory.
Yeah, that's in fact that applies to a number of the woke lies that I've listed. Is this this idea that they're all just conspiracy theories on the part of the right, but they're actually demonstrably provable. I mean, all of these things like cultural Marxism and critical race theory and all. That they say are just conspiracy theories, they actually have an identifiable intellectual history that can be traced. But you know, and also the pandemic, I think, showed everybody that pretty much anything you point to that's a conspiracy theory is actually true.
Right.
So.
Yeah. Well, what are then? We're talking with Mark Tapson.
Well, I looked at one other earlier, you know, prequel.
Okay, before we get into the lies. Okay.
Is the enormous effort they put into marketing their ideas.
Yes.
Enormous amount, you know, from book banning, wherever else. It always has a good cultural kind of like, well, I'm against book banning. I never was for book banning. And conservatives, I mean, Frank Luntz came up with it, as awful as he is. Noted that Republicans almost never go under, say, hey, what do we want to call it? What do we want to describe it as? What is more accurate from our viewpoint? And so it almost always loses the cultural wars because it loses the battle of words. The only war we won was pro-choice and pro-life. Because you go, what's more important, being pro-life or pro-that? That was one, and they still can't figure out how to get away from that one. And, no, you're anti-abortion. It's not pro-life. How dare you? But normally we just adopt their words is why they repeat them. I mean, there are lots of outtakes of 20 MSNBC people saying the exact same thing.
Threat to democracy. Yeah.
And because they're saying we have to pound it in that we must use our words to defeat the enemy.
Yeah, I think it's taken the people on the right a long time to start to catch on about how to wage a culture war, but the left has been ingenious about it for decades. Yes. I mean, the left knew long ago that politics flows downstream from culture, that the culture is where everything starts, and so they begin to take that over, you know, as far back as half a century or so ago, and so now they largely own the culture. I mean, they dominate the news media. They absolutely dominate the entertainment arena. They dominate education. So they've been working at it, playing what they call the long game of infiltrating all these cultural institutions and arenas and taking them over. And I think the right was very slow to wake up to that. So it's difficult for the right to sort of figure out how to wage this war. I think we're gaining momentum, though.
Right. Yeah. Well, why don't you talk? Because I thought what was really interesting is you don't just sort of list the lie. What you do is you kind of trace back into the origins of it and the significance of it. So why don't you kind of give us some of the top woke lies and where they came from?
I'll mention just a few. You may have mentioned, there are 10 of them. And I've kind of arranged them in
descending order.
One, for example, is that America is a systemically racist nation. Others are things like the right is banning books, which you alluded to a moment ago.
Right.
The right's not banning books. You know, we're not banning books, but all the left has to do is say that and perpetuate the narrative, and that puts us on the defensive. The right wants to ban Black history and culture from being taught in schools. That's another one. The fact that, the whole gender ideology lie, the fact that men can be women or that there's no such thing as male and female, that they're all just culturally constructed concepts. A lot of these things, or man-made climate change is dooming the planet. That's another one. There are a lot of these woke lies. They're all lies, but they're all important for the left in terms of perpetuating and disseminating their agenda. So they have to create these false narratives and just push them relentlessly through the culture.
How do you explain? I was a little bit of background in me, Mark. I was a TV reporter, investigative reporter for like 30 years in Denver. And it has granted, Chuck says it was always bad, but it wasn't that bad. How did the left?
It was always bad.
In your view, how did the left? Because I think one of the things that makes this so possible is the fact that you've got a completely compliant, complacent, I would say cooperating media, legacy media in particular, not you guys and not us. But how did that come about? How did that? The media buying into, not just buying into the lies, but parroting the lies and crushing anyone who dared to say, wait a minute, I don't think masks work. I mean, how did that come about, do you think?
It all just goes back to what I mentioned a moment ago, which is that the left finally understood that, back as far as the 60s, that marching in the streets and blowing things up wasn't a really effective way to get your message across. They decided instead to work from within. They decided to infiltrate all of the cultural institutions, especially education. So, for example, you get people like Bill Ayers, the Barack Obama mentor, who was literally a member of the Weather Underground and a domestic terrorist. Well, he abandoned that to become one of the most highly respected educators in the country. And his wife, who was also a Weather Underground partner, she acquired numerous college degrees in children's education. So they figured out that they had to buy into the system and work from within to destroy it. And it was a decades-long process of just gradually taking over institutions like academia and especially the news media the entertainment field. So every arena of the culture, they decided to infiltrate, and they've just been exceedingly successful at it. And you can see the result now with this lockstep media, the mainstream media that's they're essentially state media.
Particularly with COVID, they say things that everyone knows is a lie, right? And yet they keep repeating it. I mean, like the Hunter Biden laptop thing, right? Or the other day I was listening, somebody was tweeting, some mainstream media reporter was tweeting, don't forget all of the police officers who were killed on January 6th. And it's like, there were zero. I mean, and they know that. And they just keep repeating. I mean, that to me is the most astonishing.
The one that amazes me is they've adopted the Orwellian doublespeak.
Right.
So ATF president, that's a teachers union, Randy Weingarten says, I was always for opening schools. Always. I was trying with the best I possibly could.
As hard as
and Fauci goes, name one school I closed. Name one. I closed nothing. I mean, they really think that, they just don't really. They figure just. They don't mind if they lie now. They just know it'll work, and then they go, no discussion. And that's discourse today in the modern age.
Yeah, they're absolutely shameless about it. They will completely say something today that serves their agenda, even if it was the opposite of what they said yesterday. Because it's just day by day, their agenda may have to change or adjust, and they're perfectly fine with with doing that with no consistency whatsoever, because power is really their ultimate game. It's their ultimate goal, and so they will say and do whatever it takes to aggrandize more power and control it.
One more aside before we finally get to your wonderful list and everything else. What do you think Fox News is up to? You're a perceptive guy. I mean, they seem to be committing
the Tucker Carlson thing.
Well, the whole thing. Yeah. I mean, it seems to be Harry Carey. I mean, it seems to,
talk about culture,
You know, there's a lot of speculation about why they got rid of their number one rated Tucker Carlson, you know, and why they shot themselves in the foot or in the head, actually, is more like committing suicide. Yeah. My understanding from what some insiders say is that the reason Tucker was fired, or there are a couple of things. First of all, he's kind of a fearless truth teller, and right. he can't be reined in by one side or the other or by his bosses. Right. And so that makes Rupert Murdoch uncomfortable. But also, apparently it had a lot to do with the speech that Tucker Carlson gave the weekend before he was fired at the Heritage Foundation. Because in that speech, Tucker Carlson started talking about us being involved in a spiritual warfare. He began saying, you know, I've been thinking a lot about it, and I think what all of us need to do every day is just take 10 minutes and pray for our country, because we are right. involved in what is essentially spiritual warfare. And first of all, I think he's absolutely right, but, yeah. but secondly, as I understand it, Rupert Murdoch is extremely uncomfortable with that kind of language, that he's not a big fan of religion, and he's especially not a big fan of his top-rated commentator talking in those terms. So my understanding was there may have been other factors involved, but that was the one that pushed him over the top, and he said, I've got to get rid of Tucker Carlson.
And now they're going through this jihad where they're attacking him. Irina Briganti apparently is a CR hack that does it, but, you know, putting on outtakes that really boost Tucker Carlson quoting him, and we end up, whoa, that's a really intelligent statement. They go, yeah, but he said white there. Did you notice the word white? Hey, white's in that sentence. I mean, they're killing themselves. They're not pleasing the left.
Well, we'll
they're destroying the right, but on to the top 10. Let's go back to the top 10.
Yeah.
Well, let me ask you, actually, I had a question before, because you kind of did go through the top 10, and I'm going to throw this at you, and so I don't know, but I was looking, you know, your title, you're a fellow on popular culture. It's got to be somewhat depressing, being that when you look at what's going on with popular culture, I don't know if you paid much attention to the Met Gala, but I'm one of those persons.
Sure,
well, I like to look at all the dresses and stuff like that, right? And they were obscene. It seemed to me, they were see-through. I'm looking at the, and I guess none of the A-listers go, so it's the Kardashians and a bunch of other rappers and people I never heard of. But I'm looking at this, and it reminded me of the Hunger Games, right? I don't know if, you know, where the corrupt capital people are just, have these bizarre costumes. And of course, we know that didn't end well. But I mean, what do you, just as a fellow on popular culture, what do you make of stuff like that going on? You've got these people who don't even do anything except that they're famous for being famous, dressing disgustingly, and somehow we're supposed to all celebrate that? I don't know.
Yeah, I think it's very interesting to look at what's going on in pop culture today. And, you know, a lot of conservatives have for a long time turned their back on pop culture for reasons like what you just mentioned. And so I totally get that. The problem is that for most of our youth, pop culture is the only culture they know. They've been disconnected from the higher culture that we used to, you know, that we grew up learning about and revering, you know, this incredible cultural heritage that we have that's been passed down to us in Western civilization. They know nothing about that culture. The only culture they know about is, this or that celebrity or this or that rapper. That's one reason I like to focus on the intersection of politics and culture, is because pop culture is such a crucial part of where this country is headed, and the world too, because America exports its pop culture all around the world. And sends messaging to the rest of the world about who we are as a nation. It's kind of a weird time to be studying pop culture. I think we're reaching a point where there's an enormous gap growing between the average American average American in flyover country, you know, between those coastal elites. There's a huge gap between those people and these cultural elites who just do not care. They almost literally openly despise these, flyover Americans. And they're becoming more blatant about it. And yes. I think they're headed for a crash of some kind. I think you can see it happening in terms of Hollywood award shows and the music industry award shows. Year after year now, they bomb. I mean, the ratings are just record lows every year. So people are turning this off. I think we're headed for a very interesting cultural shift somehow. As I mentioned briefly earlier on, I think the right is beginning to gain some cultural momentum. But it's going to be a big uphill battle to try to recover what we've lost in terms of who owns the culture. I think we're waking up to that and starting to gain some momentum, and it's a positive sign.
Right.
I have an English brother-in-law, and once I mentioned American culture, he said, "Gee, I didn't know you had one."
Yes.
Hey, we have South Park. We have South Park. Yeah. South Park at least is fun. We have a 12-year-old, and that's his culture. At least it's funny. I will give him that. You know what? I know what I would like is because we've kind of run out of time with you, and we talked a little bit about the lies, but you do a great job in your column and in your own podcast too of breaking them down into
it's not just a one liner or two liner. Right. You really go into it.
So, Mark, where can people hear you? Where can people read you? Find out more about you.
Thanks. That's nice to say. The best place to follow what I'm doing is at my Substack account. Substack is kind of a platform now for a lot of writers who just want to write directly to their audiences. Yeah. So if you just go to marktapson.substack.com, or you can just go to substack.com and search for Culture Warrior, and that's me.
Okay.
All right. We need you out there.
Yeah.
We need you out there.
Great talking to you. Great talking to you.
Thank you for your time.
Yeah, great talking to you. Thanks for having me on.
Absolutely. Okay. Thank you, sir. Yeah, this would be, I'm looking at the dresses at some of these. I mean, there was a time when, you know, you would look at the dresses, and you'd be like, oh, that's kind of cool. And you would want to try to get a dress like that, right? Uh-huh. Like Mrs. Harris.
Now you don't have to worry about it.
Just
go naked and put some Saran wrap on and you're ready to go.
There you go, some sequins. You can make that at home. You can go back to doing it yourself. Right. You could do that. You too could replicate whatever Kendall Kardashian shirt.
There you go.
Black marker on it, and there you go. But it was disgusting, you know, and it did remind me of the Hunger Games. I'm like in the Capitol where they're this elite, bizarre world that has nothing to do with the rest of the people in the country.
Right.
And they need the rest of the people in the country to support them because none of them actually do anything either.
Right.
I mean, I'm looking at these people, I'm like, they're all famous for being famous. And some of them, I mean, most of them I never even heard of, right? But they're all influencers. I'm like, I don't know what they think they're influencing, but... hey, wanted to talk then more about Tucker Carlson, and here we'll open it up. Again, you guys want to type your comments in, we can read them. You want to open up your mic and talk, you can. And as always, you could call 888-627-6008. The Tucker, I was like, okay, you know, maybe it's time to stop talking about Tucker Carlson, but
no,
they have not. I mean, the attack on Tucker Carlson is relentless. And it's backfiring. I mean, they keep putting stuff out. And I want to play a couple of this because I know I was talking to Chuck about it. Some of this stuff, having been in TV forever, maybe I should set the stage before we play these Tucker Carlson sound bites. So whenever you're going live, particularly when you're going up on the satellite, when Tucker Carlson refers to the bird, if this is up on the bird, he's referring to the satellite.
I think most people got that. It's what the satellite consists of and can you hack it?
What would happen is he's doing his show from his home. This it's being beamed up to a satellite and then beamed down to Fox and whatever Fox affiliates and actually anyone who has the authorization to access that satellite feed, which could be dozens of organizations, right? Then they can see that. So, you know, as a reporter that you are, we used to joke about, oh, we love our news director. Oh, we love our news director, right? I mean, smart alecky comments go back and forth all the time when you're getting ready for the live shot or the live broadcast, right? That's very common. And you also are very aware that there are all kinds of people out there listening to it and watching it who may or may not be your friend. And so they're trying to make it seem like these are surveillance kind of tapes, or, you know, some sort of like, you know, Project Veritas thing that they caught Tucker Carlson. I guarantee you Tucker Carlson and everybody there was well aware that this was being taped, that, you know, so anything he said
would be used against him.
And that's why they're making it seem like, oh, and it's just ridiculous. You know, the way they're trying to play it. Is somebody trying to talk there, or?
Oh, hi, Julie. Can you hear me?
Yeah, hi.
I was just going to say, you know, those women at the Emmys and those award shows, they are just protesting the sexual exploitation of women in their clothes.
Yes, they're doing a good job.
You know, remember about 4 years ago when it was all the Me Too, and then they wore long, you know, covered up clothes. And
suits and stuff. Yeah.
And they just forgot that after the Me Too, after they, you know, milked that one dry, they just went back to dressing the way they did. But I thought this was real interesting on Twitter today. Fox is promoting ads on Twitter. They're promoting themselves, you know, which is unusual because they never used to have to promote themselves.
Yeah, you know, right.
Tuned in. So they're obviously paying for ads. But the promotion they paid for, they followed a story that The View did on CNN, how mad they were. The View was mad at CNN for hosting the town halls for Trump.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So, you know, it's like Fox is really mad at CNN. So, but instead of them saying we're mad at CNN for hosting Trump because we decided not to host Trump a long time ago, they're promoting The View saying that. It's like they're getting
which
their
in
messages.
Turn really allows everybody to know that Trump is going to be on CNN and they ought to tune in.
and you're right. And it's just,
so really they're really promoting CNN and The View, and but it's because no one likes their brand anymore.
Maybe they can get a 2-for-1. Bud Light and Fox to get together.
They're giving away free beer. Maybe they could buy all the free beer that Budweiser's having to give away because the freshness date is coming up soon. And so they could give away free beer to people who tune in for them. I mean, I don't know.
Exactly. But, you know, I just thought it was weird. I'm like, is this The View promoting this or is this CNN promoting it? And then I noticed that Fox was promoting a story about The View, about CNN, about how awful it was to have Trump on. And it's what they really wanted to say, but they didn't want to alienate any more Trump voters.
Exactly. Well, let me ask you this, and then we'll let you go. You know, we've started watching Newsmax, which is really pretty good.
Yeah.
Do you think, I know Fox is gambling on the fact that they'll just get everybody back. I don't know that they will, though. What do you think?
Well, you know what? I'm disappointed in some people in Colorado and, you know, because I followed them on Facebook and they're like, oh, yeah, we think we'll watch Greg Gutfeld and, you know, maybe a little bit of Laura Ingraham. And they got to know those people are totally compromised. They have signed a pact that they're not going to talk about real news. They're just going to talk about the, you know, the hot points like, oh, Hunter's laptop and, you know, how awful Biden is and, you know, stuff like that. Not the, you know, like Tucker said, if what you're not supposed to talk about is the very thing you should be talking about.
Right.
And
exactly.
So these other hosts have signed that pact. They're not going to buck Fox. They're not going to talk about those things. So why should I feed them? You know,
exactly.
Why should I promote their careers or build their careers? You know, let it all dry up and then let Gutfeld go to Newsmax or, you know, let him start a new media thing, you know, because we're just kind of prolonging and they'll resurge, you know, like NFL resurged, you know. Well, I mean, we just got a solidarity. That's what we got.
Solidarity.
I mean, that's what I tell Chuck every time, you know, kind of tune. I'm like, no.
No, stop. Like, what are you doing?
There you go. And you know what? You got to replace it.
I didn't mean to.
Yeah.
You got to replace it with something good. So I guess I'm going to watch Newsmax because I think Chuck or someone told me that they do cover some of the real news.
They've been doing a pretty good job. So, okay, well, Charlene, thank you.
All right, thanks.
Well, then we'll play some of these Tucker sound bites because it has been funny. The response has been that, you know, it's like not like, oh, my God, Tucker said the word white in a sentence. It's made people like it more. So, Thomas, if we could please play the Tucker number one sound bite. Here he's talking. Look, just play it. You'll see.
Yeah, you know, still.
Yeah.
If we go like 45 minutes, it's going to be for Fox Nation.
But nobody's going to watch it on Fox Nation. Nobody watches Fox Nation because the site sucks. So I'd really like to just dump the whole thing on YouTube. But anyway, that's just my view. I'm just frustrated with it's hard to use that site. I don't know why they're not fixing it. It's driving me insane. and they're like making like Lifetime movies, but they don't work on the infrastructure of the site. Like, what? It's crazy, and it drives me crazy because it's like we're doing all this extra work and no one can find it. It's unbelievable, actually. I don't know who runs that site.
We're going to pay a sizable chunk on the show tomorrow night. That's the plan. And then what it's going to do is drive a lot of people to watch this on Fox Nation. It's going to be a great help to what we're doing over there on TV today.
I know, but we're doing our part. We're like working like animals to produce all this content, and the people in charge of it, whoever that guy's, whatever his name is, like they're ignoring the fact that the site doesn't work. And I think it's like a betrayal of our efforts. That's how I feel. So I resent it.
Now, like I said, a couple of things. Number one, Tucker obviously knows that they're rolling on this because they do. That's what they just automatically do because they don't want to miss it when the show starts, right? So he knows that. But I think people are like, oh, he's criticizing Fox, so they fired him. It's like, no, he's saying their site sucks, which it does, by the way. Don't you think?
Megyn Kelly, maybe have her.
We have her coming up.
I mean, she was saying this is done. So the people at Newsmax and other places go, oh, he's a bad employee. We can't employ him because you kind of go, don't you want to employ who cares? It just doesn't mail it in. It's trying as hard as they can and wants an improved product. And that's most employers want that kind of Fox doesn't, of course.
And Tucker Carlson doesn't even need an employer, right? But I think you're right. We're going to play another one here, too. And so for folks that don't know, Media Matters is a Soros-funded, very left-wing organization. They monitor our show. They monitor all the conservative shows. And they just wait for somebody to say something bad so they can pounce on it. And this one is a pretty funny one. And again, when you hear it, it's like it's clear Tucker is aware that this is being broadcast up on the bird, as he says. So if we could please play Tucker number two. Oh, there's bad language in this too, by the way.
Just warning, trigger warning.
Yeah.
I'm not, you know what? I'm not qualified on that score, I will say. But his girlfriend is kind of yummy. Just kidding. Cases is being pulled off the bird. Yeah, the bird. Hey, Media Matters for America. Go fuck yourself. That's the first thing I want to say tonight. Second thing is, totally kidding, I don't even know what his girlfriend looks like. And if I did, I would not find her yummy.
Making a big thing about that too. Sexist, his misogynistic comments.
How dare he? No one listened to him again. Charlene says he sounds like Barney there.
Exactly. Tucker was channeling his inner Barney. Tucker was so cool. She says, kind of nerdy cool. And then Sandra says, I agree with Tucker regarding Media Matters. Oh, absolutely. And then, Thomas is saying, I'm flipping him the double bird. from Jacob, a few weeks ago, Julia said there must be someone who is gathering all this information on Biden and Dominion and the rest. I think Tucker is that guy. Could be. Oh, then from Dr. Donda, I think my neighbors heard me bust a gut. It's like, this is the Dominion thing. Like I said, it's to me, it's confusing because Dominion owns stock in Fox. So they sued themselves and then they paid themselves, which is all.
No, I think it's BlackRock owns Fox
and Dominion. Okay, exactly. You're right. Not Dominion owns. Oh, exactly. Well, I don't know. I think it's possible Dominion owns Fox now. But again, they're trying to make this seem like that this is something, bad about
Tucker. Oh, terrible.
He was the new, every day there's a little drip, drip, drip. And I think one thing that is obvious, though, it's not like everybody would have access to that satellite video, right? You'd have to have some sort of authorization. So I believe in some way, shape, or form, this has to be coming from Fox. And if they wanted to stop it, they could. And that's what former Fox person Megyn Kelly thinks, too. If we could please play the Megyn Kelly soundbite.
They're not even subtle. Fox is losing its fastball. This is just too obvious, Irina. Again, it's my opinion. This is all being leaked by Irina Briganti, who's made it her mission to ruin Tucker Carlson. She hates it when you mention her name on the air. She hates it when her pictures make the air, but she's happy to besmirch yours. She's in the business of ruining your name. Welcome to the club. It doesn't feel very good, does it, Irina, when your name is all over the news as somebody who's possibly doing very disgusting, dirty, dirtball kinds of things? It doesn't feel good. In any event, I'm going to show you the videos. Because what they think makes Tucker look terrible does nothing of the sort and underscores the absurdity. I just want to point out CNN is not doing any of this crap to Don Lemon. CNN's not doing any of this to Don Lemon. They fired the guy. They're in the middle of a negotiation. As far as I know, it's going the way you would expect. And I think Don Lemon's going to walk away with his paycheck. Tucker, it's a different situation at Fox where you must be ruined, as I've been telling you. So here's...
So, and she played then the videos that we played. And I think there's something to that. I think
the only thing I object to that one is her pitching analogy. They're not losing their fastball. They're losing their curveball or screwball. Okay. They're trying to do something tricky and fooling everybody, and they're not fooling anybody. They're losing their curveball.
Well, and in part because Megyn Kelly has, she's like skyrocketed her podcast now, right? Yes. She's like, thank you, this is helping. But it goes back to the same thing. Remember, they said this back at the beginning after Trump lost in 2020. They said, we're not just going to be happy to stop Trump. We need to destroy him, and we need to destroy anyone who supports him. And it's not even so much anyone who supports Trump. It's gotten bigger than that now. It's anyone who asks the right questions, anyone who questions their Orwellian narrative, right? It's not enough just to say, oh, you can't be on YouTube. You need to try to destroy them, to take away their livelihood. And that's clearly, I think, what they're trying to do is to try
It is clear, and Megyn Kelly's absolutely right. And they leaked one New York Times,
right,
in which he was talking about he was watching some riots and a Tifa guy got beat up and he felt bad that at first he said, yeah. And it showed his humanity, what a decent guy is. But he said, that's not how white men fight. And they just go, that's it. Fox was so shocked. And so,
my God,
it sent shockwaves through him. Well, how would they know that unless Irina told them that? And so New York Times looks like a piece of garbage publication it's become. Fox. Now, Julie, you joined Fox and it's still owned by the National Rec Group. But today, if I had a decent job and I was being recruited by Fox, I wouldn't go. I mean, the left hates you. The right hates you. Everybody in there, they do oppo files on you. If you're Abby Goldman, you're Goldberg, you do oppo sites on them. What a miserable place it must be. And somebody pointed out that BlackRock bought 15% of Fox. Bad move. Bad investment there.
I think it was on Monday night, MSNBC again beat Fox in the primetime thing. Their ratings are like 50% down, somewhat across the board, too. It's not just in Tucker's slot. It's the thing that they're trying to do, and I think it's interesting. Well, I think that actually probably you have your lawyer negotiations and then you have the corporation trying to destroy Tucker. My guess would be that some of this exit conversation is going okay. Otherwise, I think we would have heard from Tucker. But what happens is, and I almost guarantee this would happen here, when they finally do part ways, everybody has to sign a non-disparaging claim, right?
Well,
and they're shots in before
it gets
done.
Well, I don't think Tucker go, okay.
No.
Oh, yeah. Okay, non-disparaging, right, sure. Right. You
and
bet.
This from Dr. Donna. Fox thinks they're rolling out the hurt on Tucker. In reality, they're the ones wearing the hurt. Exactly. And then from Jacob, Hannity had high ratings because he was on the coattails of Tucker. Sorry for the caps. That's okay. Lead in is huge in TV, as is lead out, right? And Laura Ingraham benefits from the popularity of Greg Gutfeld, I believe. And I think Charlene hit it on the head, too. You know that anyone still on Fox, they got rid of Dan Bongino, they got rid of Tucker, is a suck up. Right? Anyone still working?
Well, they're
at
suck
Fox.
Ups, but everybody's just like Ann Grossberg. I mean, she has 90 recordings and been there a day or something. Everybody's building their oppo files on everybody else because it's the company's building oppo files.
Well, and I can tell you what, there was a time at Fox, the local Fox station, where they had really bad management and everybody. So what they do in the mornings, they would have the morning meeting where everybody sits there and you decide what stories are we going to cover. Everyone except me, because I couldn't figure out how to do it, but was secretly taping the whole thing on their phone. Everyone had their phone sit down there because you just never knew when this horrible management, which isn't there now, by the way, they've been gone for a long time, but when this horrible management was going to attack you, and they did attack you, and it creates a weird atmosphere. And I got to say, Tucker Carlson, given the way he was speaking out, you got to wonder how much of this has been going on and for how long it's been going on there, you know? And I don't think, again, what they underestimate, kind of like Budweiser, there are a lot of other beers out there that people are now drinking. You don't need to go back to Budweiser. There are
Don't buy Miller because it's owned by Anheuser-Busch too. Of course you can, and they're probably just as woke, but at least they're not owned by Anheuser-Busch.
They're not going to do ads like that anymore. Well, but I think at Fox, again, they've destroyed any kind of credibility they might have had. And there are too many alternatives. People are now listening to Megyn Kelly. They're listening to Newsmax. My guess would be Tucker Carlson, when he does come back, will be on some sort of streaming platform where they can't do this to him again. Right. So I just think it's funny that they, and as Mark Tapson was saying earlier, when you're woke, you don't really get how the rest of the world thinks. So they say, "Oh, Tucker said white man in this." So that's
I got him now.
He's going to tell everybody it's racist. It's like, well, he was saying he felt bad for the Antifa guy who's getting beat up. Yeah. You know?
Oh, how dare he?
And he was saying, "I was joking about Yummy. I've never even seen the woman." Right? I mean, I don't know.
Jacob says Anheuser-Busch has done more to stop alcohol consumption in the prohibition.
That's right. Exactly. Well, and kind of along the Tucker Carlson line, wanted to go into something else. I was trying to send this to my brother because I have two nephews who were in the Navy.
Yeah, they're trying to get out.
But yeah, and they some of them, one is and the other is, so I won't say their names, but they talk about a lot of problems in the Navy. But what the Navy has done is, I didn't realize this, and you saw this, a guy by the name of Harpy Daniels, 24-year-old active duty Navy person, is also a drag queen and was recently recruited by the Navy to become their first digital ambassador. Okay.
Outreach for recruiting.
If we could please, and we're going to introduce you to Harpy. If we could please play the Navy drag queen. This is a video that the Navy wanted put out.
To get you to join.
If we could play the Navy drag queen, Thomas. But that's a Navy guy. This Navy sailor is also a drag queen. Now they're showing the drag queen for people who are just listening.
That's him. Not a drag queen.
That's him. 24-year-old Joshua Kelly, I'm reading it, performs under the author ego Harpy Daniels. While serving as a squadron's administrative supervisor. Oh, great. Now he's showing off part of his lip syncing competitions. That are designed to boost morale. Oh, there you go. Kelly hopes to inspire people all over the world and show that you can serve your country
by doing a drag king show
and still be yourself. I'm like, what? It's like, I'm like, that the Navy would, I mean, as somebody, you know, when you read the comments, it's like China and Russia are laughing their tails off on this. It's like, number one,
you want to join, doesn't it? You see that and say, hey, maybe they'll still take me at my age. I don't know.
In yourself.
Yeah, there you go.
Well, ridiculous thing. One thing the Navy does not allow you to do, I think anybody who's been in the military services, is be yourself, right? It's like, that's sort of
militaries are not a be yourself
thing. It's like,
but maybe like, today,
yourself feels like taking it easy today, right? Like, no, you know, I mean, they make you do push ups and things like that.
There's not anymore.
Not anymore. They make you wear wigs, but you know, Dr. Donna said, Charlene says, after that, I'm going to learn to speak Russian or Chinese. Dr. Donna says, feeling safer already. And then Jacob says, Russia and China might be sponsoring all of this. I mean, that guy's probably in charge of a nuclear submarine, right? Oh, it's like, I don't know, maybe he has to dress up.
It's not like sailors and gay are unique. What did Churchill say, that the Royal Navy was based on rum, whippings, and sodomy? I mean, but to recruit on that basis is truly amazing. I mean, it's truly amazing.
It's ridiculous, too, because, okay, when you get right down to it, even though it doesn't seem like it anymore, but realistically, the percentage of people in the overall population who are transgender is relatively small.
Not anymore.
Well, yeah, I would imagine the number of transgender people who want to join the Navy is even smaller,
not
right?
More.
So what are they trying to recruit, four or five people? And they somehow think this is, they're not trying to recruit. They're trying to signal their wokeness because that's what matters to the Navy more. I think they know it's just like Budweiser, right? Then Budweiser is like, no one is going to drink a beer because Dylan Mulvaney is drinking Bud Light because we all know she's not. Same thing here. You know that the Navy isn't actually thinking, oh, we'll just show a transgender drag queen guy and then everyone's going to want to join the Navy. No, they're just doing it because signaling their wokeness is more important than doing their job.
I'm sure those are the kind of people they're trying to attract, and they will attract. I mean, if they're trying to attract that, they probably will.
Barney says sailors may drink Bud Light. Maybe that's all part of a plot. They're going to give them all Bud Light now. But that's just ridiculous to think that somehow, you know, that's going to increase in recruiting.
Well, it'll recruit a certain segment of the population.
Not very many.
It does. One good man.
Or one good woman, whatever. <man. laughs> I don't know. It's to a certain extent, there should be a don't ask, don't tell for stuff like don't ask, don't show me. You know what I'm saying? It's like if this is their supervisor, you know what I mean? If your supervisor is doing drag queen lip sync contest to boost morale, I don't know. I don't know that would boost my morale. I would be like, maybe we should fix some of the equipment that doesn't work, you know, or something like that.
They're not going to get mechanics.
Something like that. I don't know. One other video I want to play for you today, too. This is kind of funny. Wait, we should leave it. Charlene, this is true, Charlene. Maybe they're trying to purge the military of patriots.
Yeah.
It's been reported, Jacob says, that Army Ranger recruitment is way down. Dr. Donna says, my father was a Coast Guard, did not drink Bud. There you go. Well, of course, recruitment is down. I mean, it's tricky to be in the, no one works anymore anyway. I think there was a time when a lot of people would join the military just as a transition of high school, right? And it was kind of a way to learn and everything like
well,
that.
Well, particularly in yourself. Places when there weren't jobs, but now.
Right. But now nobody works anymore.
Yes.
Yeah, so,
resolve that.
So yeah, you don't need to worry. You don't need to transition. You just go back to your parents' house and watch TV or do your video games in the basement or something.
Get out
like
the cosmetics and go for it.
There you go. And then you can become an influencer.
Mm-hmm.
But here's the thing. Make so there's been a lot of talk. Trump is, again, crushing it. But you're the poll guy. The latest numbers has Trump up over
32 points.
Yeah. I mean, even Politico was having to say, yeah, Trump is like running circles around everybody.
And DeSantis is dropping. He's got sometimes in the teens. It's one thing if you go from single digit, double digit, and now you're up to 15, 16, 17. Now you're in the 20s and rising. When you start out in the 30s and start heading down, it's not a campaign investment strategy. It's probably not a campaign you want to invest in.
No. And so I'm going to play you guys. This is pretty funny. It's a meme of the 2024 GOP presidential debate. For people who are listening and not watching, what it shows is you're going to see Trump dressed funny. And then you're going to see a series of all the other candidates just throwing their hands up in the air. But if we could please play the GOP debate, this is a parody video. It's Nikki Haley throws her hands up. Pence throws us. It's Trump standing in the door with a gun. Ramaswamy, nope. Tim Scott, nope.
I've come here to chew bubble gum and kick ass.
Ron DeSantis.
And I'm all out of bubble gum.
That's kind of, I thought that was funny. I thought that was funny. And it's true, right? If you're like one of the other presidential, they're like, thank God Trump doesn't want to do any debates. Cause what are you going to do? What are you going to do with that? Let's see. Oh, that's the best. Pence is pensive. Trump blowing through all the fake lawsuits from Charlene. Well, yeah. I mean, does anyone even care? I mean, how many fake lawsuits are there against Trump anymore? You can't even keep track of them, really. But I thought that in its own way, there's a guy, some of the memes that they create are kind of funny. Who knows even if they're created by AI anymore. No. Well, that clearly was some AI, right? Trump saying bubblegum. Yeah, no. But I think it's true. If you're, I think some of the people are probably running to create a name for themselves. But we talk about this all the time. If you're Ron DeSantis and his supporters, you got to be being, granted, there's a long way to the election, but you got to be somewhat, I don't know what, at least not happy.
No, I mean, you got to be incredibly frustrated. You take a world tour and everybody makes fun of you and the prime minister of England won't talk to you. And you bomb out with the Lloyd's of London, and everywhere you go, it's everybody's going, yeah, not much. So nothing what you do. I mean, this is supposed to be put him on the stage, make him seem very presidential, and instead it's just kind of pathetic.
Well, and I think in the meantime, you know, I've read Step before, and I think there's probably some truth to that. It can be really tricky for a governor who's very strong, maybe like Ron DeSantis, very popular in Florida, clearly has a campaign stuff working in Florida. But to translate that to the national stage, to the brutal campaigning that goes on for a presidential race, I think is a whole different thing. And Trump has been through it. This is his third time. And I think even the people who hate Trump are like, the guy is organized this time around, and he knows what he's up against. He knows what he's got to do. He's lining up allies, you know, way before DeSantis could. So I think, I don't think DeSantis is going to drop out. I don't think they'll win. Oh, go ahead, Jacob.
Hi. You know, they have this guy, RFK, that's running for president against a sitting Democratic president.
Yeah.
The last time that happened, it was a Kennedy who was running for president against a sitting Democratic president, and that was Carter. Ted Kennedy and Carter. Mm-hmm. And how well did Carter do against Reagan?
He got
wiped out.
Yeah.
In the landslide. And this RFK, I think he's got a little
he's already got 19, almost 20%, which is what DeSantis has.
Yeah. I mean,
so he's off to a good start.
Yeah. It's going to be interesting. Hey, listen, Jacob, we got to go.
Bye.
Thank you. I want to thank Mark Tapson. And if you guys want to find him, it's TAPSON. Mark Tapson. Thank you to him. Everybody on Zoom, catch all of our shows at chuckandjulie.com.
And we'll see you on Party Friday.
Party Friday with the mint julep recipe for Leo.
And mint julep cups, if I can find them.
Okay.
They're somewhere.